Et un monstre dans la main, et un autre.
You're listening to Sound Forms, Conversations with Composers. I'm your host, Peter Wetzler, and this week we are featuring indie pop singer-songwriter Sandrine and her partner, fellow musician, songwriter, and producer Malcolm Byrne. But since this is only our second session, I thought I'd incorporate feedback on the thousands of bags of fan mail. Well, actually only one. My son Matt from college out in British Columbia said, "Dad, you've got to explain things more." So what the heck was that mishmash opening you just heard? Well, I was auditioning ideas for an opening logo for the show, and I decided to experiment with this really interesting program. It's called ITSM, and that stands for Internet Signature Maker. And that's a web-based app. It's free. It's by Jason Freeman from Georgia Institute of Technology. And it lets you take a playlist in iTunes and assign a maximum segment length and number of layers of sound, and it spits out a mashup of your playlist. So I fed it a few pieces from my ensemble, The Rapidos, and a couple of selections from my solo piano CD, a bunch of cues from various film and TV scores that I've composed over the years, and voila, soup du jour. So here, I'm going to play you another 20-second ITSM melange from the same source material. That was a 20-second arrangement of sound using a program called ITSM, which stands for Internet Signature Maker. What it does is take a playlist in iTunes that I'd assembled with about 20 film and TV cues that I'd written and a dozen songs from my ensemble, The Rapidos. And the software randomly chooses snippets from each piece and can layer up to 10 pieces to play at once, although I limited it to 2 because I was more interested in hearing distinguishable musical moments rather than a totally abstract sound. But that could be cool too. In any event, as a composer, this kind of tool is something I'll experiment with from time to time. But in my head, I'm already thinking I'd much prefer having each piece on a separate track and mix and layer them myself rather than throwing the dice and letting ITSM make a random selection. Now, you heard me call this a tool, and while some classically trained composers might bristle at about what I'm about to say, because I was classically trained myself, and that voice is still burning inside my head saying, "Well, these are just gimmicks." Anyhow, I call this software a sound tool, just as a bow is a tool for playing a stringed instrument, or as Malcolm will mention later in the show, a flange is a tool to alter the sound of an instrument. But I digress a bit, and I want this show to feature as much music as talking. So I want to start by playing a piece by Sandrine Daniels, which is produced by her husband, Malcolm Byrne, and follow that with an earlier work by Malcolm Byrne, who worked with Daniel Lanois in New Orleans, recording the Neville Brothers and Dylan, the Meters, and producing Emily Lou Harris, among countless other artists, which he continues to do today out of his studio in Kingston.
Down, rode the train for hours, stayed in Chinatown. Black became the dawn, kept each other warm. We knew we belonged. Oh, oh, back in our old town, parents wore a frown, told their dearest ones what they would become. If they didn't heed our own shameful deed, now we never can come home. We went too far, no turning back. happen fast like a heart attack. Would we change our tone if we could have known? Who can say for sure? You thinks it knows more. Live with choices made. That's how our hours fade. How we learn to carry on. We went too far, no turning back. It happened fast, we went off track. We went too far, no turning back. It happened fast, like a heart attack. And if you ever think to swim against the tide, think over. You'll forever be trapped on the other side. A four-leaf clover. Went too far, no turning back. It happened fast, we went off track. We went too far, no turning back. It happened fast, like a heart attack.
foundation, waiting in the rain, wishing I was someone.
Just heard Everything's Gonna Be All Right, an unreleased song by Malcolm Byrne, our guest this evening with his partner Sandrine Daniels. And before that, we heard Heart Attack, a work in progress from Sandrine's latest album that she's co-producing with Malcolm. You're listening to Sound Forms, and I'm your host, Peter Wetzler. We started recording the evening in the studio with Sandrine trying out my new favorite plugin from PSP Audioware called N2O. Plugins in the new digital studio have replaced dedicated sound processing hardware boxes like reverbs and delays and EQs. These have all been part of the color palette that a composer or engineer or producer uses in their toolkit. I'm currently really enjoying using N2O in my mixes, and you'll hear Pauline Oliveros in my studio on the next show trying out some of its settings as well. So let's get started on the interview with Sandrine and Malcolm. Those of you out in Radio Land, I've just been changing the presets on the audio plugin called N2O while Sandrine riffs on the preset names like Ginger and Infernal Affair. Well, thanks for indulging me with my new audio toy, but tell me about the new album you guys are working on.
For a long time, I've wanted to do, like, pretty much synthesizer music, because I've always liked it ever since I was working on my first album and I discovered a Moog and got to play the Moog in the studio and really cool analog synthesizers, and I've always just absolutely loved that. And we would drive in the car and listen to Brian Eno, the early Brian Eno record, so we should play something of that if you love those.
Before that, Another Green World, I think.
Thank you.
And that was from the track called Another Green World from the 1975 album called Another Green World by Brian Eno, which Sandrine and Malcolm pointed to as one of the influences from their latest collaboration.
And I really loved that whole just sound and simplicity. And Malcolm was really, when he was younger and he only had a few bits and pieces to record within a four track, he used to record like that. But as he's got a massive, huge studio and piles of gear and got used to, you know, making these big sort of orchestral constructions, he kind of lost contact with how to do that. So, like, asking him just to record a few simple keyboard parts and make it sound good, he just couldn't really get his head around how to do it anymore. But then he started working with this guy called Richard Buckner that he's been mixing lately, and as soon as Malcolm put it on in the car, he said, oh, this is a guy he wants me to mix his stuff. And we listened to it, and as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. It was simple keyboardy parts, really melodic sort of pop stuff. And Malcolm went to go and mix this guy's stuff, and of course he did his usual thing and put a bunch of like reverb and stuff on it, and the guy was like, oh no, that's not what I want. And Malcolm couldn't get his head around it until finally he realized the mixes that he'd done that we heard in the car were completely dry. He didn't have any effects in his home studio. He had a lot of analog keyboards and bits and bobs, vibes and cool little...
Well, the thing about Richard's music that was interesting, and it was something that I'd sort of done a long time ago and then sort of forgotten about, is that his music, because he, you know, was doing it all by himself, you know, it's like one guy in his house doing his music, so he sort of constructed the thing, you know, it's all about each
part,
the parts, you know, so at a certain point,
without making them glossed up and sounding bigger and better than they are because he didn't have any effects.
But actually, in reality, what's really interesting about Richard Buckner is that the guy's really into, he's more obsessed with
sounds
and things, like, you know, like, oh, this microphone and this preamp and this.
Yeah.
The songs are almost kind of like
vehicles for him to do
for
that.
Him to get
but
these,
he's
got
a great
melodicist. Some really interesting sounds.
He's a great melodicist.
He just happens to have a natural tendency for
very great melodies.
Lyrics, actually.
After working with Richard, and Richard said, no, I don't want that. Malcolm suddenly realized all he had to do was take effects off, make it dry, and just make those cool-sounding sounds just sound clear and precise and mix well. And
also, the thing is, you know, as Sandrine was saying, like, we live in a world now where there's so many things available. There's like such a...
So many options.
Like, I remember hearing this interview one time with George Harrison. He, you know, this is actually years ago. It was late 80s, and he was lamenting the fact that these days you go in the studio and someone sort of sits there pressing a button and you've got like 200 presets and you spend 3 days just trying to decide, well, we could have this sound or we could have that. And he said in the old days we had two sounds. And we used them on everything, so that's why you hear a Beatles record and there's like flangers on everything.
Right.
Because they were
right.
Like excited. It took them 2 days to get that one sound. So I thought, well, you know, on these new recordings, I'm only going to use one keyboard, which is actually my old Nord lead. And
I was playing an old Korg.
And Sandrine was playing this like Korg Lambda, which is
like an analog.
Famous for the keyboard line on Love Will Tear Us Apart. It's limited palette.
Yeah.
Right.
Minimalist.
You can't
palette,
do much on that. Like, instead of playing piano and all these acoustic instruments, all I could basically do was play block chords and do a live vocal. So that's what we're going to play you now. They're in the early form, but we probably won't do a whole lot more to them, but it's just basically me playing the Korg and doing some extra accessory melodic parts on top of it, and then Malcolm filled in a few gaps
on
his...
in a nutshell, there's not a pile of shit on there.
Right, it's very simple. Check it out, though.
All right.
I don't want to die before my time. I won't turn until I see the sign. I won't do the things I'm told to do. Only to myself will I be true. I don't want to play a guessing game, knowing that I'll shoulder all the blame. I'll just do the things I can control. I'll just keep my eyes upon the goal. There's no game, don't have to win. yesterday. So let's begin. I don't want to dress for all the girls. High-heels, trendy jeans, and messy curls. I don't want to pose for all the guys. Push-up bras, mascara on my eyes. I don't want to feel I have to breed. Pressured into following the lead. Just because I have the working parts doesn't mean my brain is second class.
Ashes and dust to dust.
sickness and in hell. I need someone I can trust. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. I need real
These are really nice contrasts from what you've been doing. It's great.
Yeah, and for me, it's what I've always wanted to do.
That's the most important part, isn't it?
That's the thing. It's like I've always actually wanted to do that.
I'd like to play you something of mine, yes. Actually, if that's okay with you.
Of course.
That, in fact, fits into that same genre. Which is
tell us about it.
Yeah, but it was probably 30 years ago, and you forgot about
actually,
how to do that in between.
No, it's not. First track on there. The song is called Kingdom Come.
Two souls come together.
for love. Still searching in the stranger's eyes for love. We're all waiting for that free ride to kingdom come.
The Beatles, kind of evokes the Beatles.
I actually thought that sounded like something from one of those 70s TV shows. Like, what was that show called? Soap?
I don't know what it is, but it's pretty great. I love that and song and
voice.
I love the lyrics.
It's great. It reminds me of...
Well, I'm not going to tell you who I was trying to sound like, but...
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I love Frank Sinatra. So I don't sound like Frank Sinatra, but in my mind, I'm like, you know, trying to be Frank, you know. Like, why not?
That's great. So. While I never dreamed I'd be spinning Frank Sinatra on my cutting-edge new music program, here's the title cut of Old Blue Eyes that Malcolm brought with him from the words and music of McEwen, called A Man Alone.
taking up Sundays and spending them alone. A man who knows love is seldom what it seems, just other people's dreams.
Those big schmaltzy ninth chords. Well, that was, in case you've just arrived from a remote corner of the world, Frank Sinatra in A Man Alone, from the words of music of McEwen, and it was brought to us by Malcolm Byrne, our guest this evening, with his partner, Sandrine Daniels. You're listening to Sound Forms, and I'm your host, Peter Wetzler. And in the interest of playing more of Malcolm and Sandrine's music, I'm jumping ahead in our interview, because we spent a lot of time discussing the travails of the music industry with the democratization of new music via all the new venues and the challenge to be heard and compensated for the serious and talented musicians today. Here's Malcolm again.
You know, it's a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, if it wasn't for like what I call vanity projects, I probably wouldn't do half the work I do anymore. You know, like literally half of the stuff that I've been producing is what I would call vanity projects. Is, you know, someone's got some money from their dad that, you know, they can either go to college this year or they can make a record, and it's like, okay, and so, you know, we end up making a record and you know, is anyone going to hear that? Like, is this person just doing it because they can? I mean, it's just, you know, it's a strange world now that everybody sort of imagines, and we've sort of been brainwashed or bludgeoned to think that everyone's a star. You know, kids especially are brought up with this
idea. Everybody can be a star, and
that's
just not...
Everyone's a little star. Look at my little Johnny. He can do this and he can do that. And he's so good on the computer. Well, the other interesting point that you brought up, Peter, was like, who the hell's getting paid for that, any of this
stuff?
Yeah,
exactly.
If everyone's putting out their music and no one's paying for it, when are people going to stop making music? Because, well, it's just become a hobby. You know, it's what it is now. Like, most people that do music kind of
do
it as a hobby, you know.
Do it at home.
And everyone's got, you know, some ability to create something, and I guess it's that's okay, you know. Like, surely there's a Mozart or somebody out there with his Reason program or whatever, but it's going to do something interesting.
Good,
if you play one piece of music for me on your show that I would like people to hear, could you play this first track? You don't have to play it right now.
Good. Well, let's play
But this piece of music, in my opinion, sort of sums it all up.
Is the bomb? Let's listen to this.
This is Syd Barrett, by the way.
Crisp flax squeaks, tall reeds make a circle of grey in a summer way around man. Soot on ground. Living
anyway, you know, and we're in this weird point in music, in the technological history, where it's like, you know, there's two sides to the coin. Like, there's the over thing. There's like so much on top of it. You hear these productions where it's just like, how much more stuff could they stick on
there? Pop music.
And then there's the exact opposite of which is like the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band record, where it's like, wow, you know, piano, drums, bass, and vocal, mm-hmm. you know, and a man's soul, and mm-hmm. and that really works too. And it's like, you know, I guess for us, for Sandrine and I, we're sort of, you know, definitely more in the Plastic Ono Band space at the moment, just because, you know, yeah, we could sit at home all day long with millions of tracks and just cram as much crap on there, which I'm certainly guilty as the next person of doing, but...
That's what Malcolm was doing when I first met him, and I caused him great offense by saying, yeah, because when I came over from Australia to work with Malcolm, people were like, oh, Malcolm Byrne, yeah, we've heard of him, and yeah, you should definitely work with him. And I listened to what he'd done, and everything he does sounds really good sonically, okay. Because he's a talented and gifted person, but I wasn't...
But not for you.
...really into... I didn't want to come over and work with someone that was going to implant his sound upon my music. I was interested in creatively working with someone to come up with something different. It took quite a long time to come to that place where Malcolm was able and ready to do that, because over the years, working with people, he's gotten so used to doing his sound with their music or creating something different to some extent, but using all the same tricks and tools. So it's exciting now, I think, for both of us that he's not doing that and he's gotten a bit back to his roots of where he started with music.
But at the same time, I have to be careful because, for example, I just finished working with someone, and of course what I wanted to do with that individual was this idea that we've been using for Sandrine's music,
back,
but
yeah.
I can tell you right now that if I'd have tried to do that with that person, it would have been open rebellion. What that person really wanted was for me to do, oh yeah, do that thing that you always do. We love, you know, just do, and it's like, I could do that with my eyes closed, you know, like...
How much of that bag of tricks did you pick up when you were working with Daniel and Juan?
Well, probably a fair bit, but you know, the thing about Dan, and you know, he discusses this actually on Neil Young's website, you know, where he's being interviewed about the Lanois record, where, you know, Dan says very clearly, he says, you know, I don't just want to keep doing the same thing I've always done, I want to do something different, and with this record with Neil, we're going to do it like this, and you know, that's what I think everyone has, you know, you're constantly trying to reinvent yourself and get away from, but it's also very difficult because, you know, you hear things a certain way and certain things work, and then you hear something that you did say 20 years ago and you say, holy crap, like, well, for example, you know, I was listening to something that I had worked on with Dan in 1988, the Yellow Moon record by the Neville Brothers, and you know, to hear that record now, it's like, how did we do that? Like, I can't even remember.
Shining bright, shining down, down.
And one of the things I remember about making that record was it was one of the first records I ever actually had recorded, and I was really worried because I thought there was some big mystique about recording drums, and I was nervous when I was going in to make that record because I didn't know how to record drums. And the day we started making that record, Dan came to me and said, "I'm f***ing sick of drums. I don't want to hear drums on this record." I was like, okay. But one of the things that he wanted me to do and I was good at doing was recording bass. Mm. So when you listen to that record, the bass, Tony Hall, incredible bass player. But what Tony would do is he would play, you know, he's a funk player, and he'd play slap, you know, it's in the 80s. And I was like, well, we can't have that on the record. So what I did was I muted the hell out of it. So the bass became like this incredible percussion instrument, almost like a talking drum. And so by, like, mutating something into something that I couldn't handle, into something that really worked, and when you put on the record, what you hear is the bass. On the Yellow Moon record called Fire and Brimstone, which is actually written by Link Wray. Uh-huh. And it's an incredible song. It's actually a gospel song. Uh-huh. I saw fire and brimstone coming down on my head. It's and the bass is like slapping away. But I just EQ'd it so you don't hear any of the slap, and it just sounds like one of those talking drums, like King Sunny a Day in his band or something like that, you know? So it's interesting how you invent things, and so the idea is to keep trying to invent things and come up with something different, but at the same time you get people that just want you to sort of do the old thing that you're good at. Well, we heard that on that record.
Which is good, because that pays the bills so that we can do what we want to do artistically.
Well, I've got just enough time to squeeze in another earlier song from Malcolm. It's from 1982, and it's called A Man of Fortune. And we'll close with another tune from the hopefully soon-to-be-completed and released new album from Sandrine Daniels. As you can hear, these local artists are the real deal, extraordinarily talented and passionate human beings and gifted musicians who've been my guests on Soundforms. Next episode, I'll be in the studio with another Kingston neighbor of mine with a global footprint, the composer, teacher, founder of Deep Listening Institute, Pauline Oliveros. You've been listening to Soundforms, Conversations with Composers, with your host, Peter Wetzler,